Well, thank you for thanks for praying with me. I tell you, I look forward to this time of the day, and I'm so grateful to intercede for you and for your needs. And I know you might be going through a lot of difficulty and a lot of suffering. You're not alone. You know, believe me, there's a grace in it. So I spoke to a woman earlier today. Her name is Kay. She came to mind, a great supporter of Relevant Radio, a friend of mine. I've traveled with her and just a victim soul. She's a woman who's in the hospital right now as we're talking. And she suffered from, you know, problems with her spine and back pain and knee problems. And she just had terrible blinding migraines, couldn't remember who she was, all these different problems, and she's suffering today. And I said to her, I said, we don't understand really why God allows this type of suffering, but it's so powerful, and it is so meritorious. And I know she's praying for the conversion of her children, and I said, you unite that to that of the Lord on the cross, and I'm telling you what, those prayers have just become empowered. They become emboldened. And God will never give us anything that's too difficult for us to bear. He will not. God has a way in his divine will of working all things together for the good. He's God, right? So if you're going through a difficult time right now, it's not working out the way you want, you can't ever recognize how God somehow, some way will bring good out of this. You're wrong, because he will. I'm telling you right now, he will. You need to change the attitude. You need to change the focus. You need to open your heart and know that God is with you. He's on your side, and that great things are going to happen. I received an email the other day from a person whose father-in-law was having surgery, and they were praying for him. It was a pretty serious surgery, and wrote to me. He says, right as you finished the chaplet drill, I received a note from my husband that the surgery was successful. Now we're praying for a good recovery. I want to thank you for the answer to those prayers. Another person says, I was praying for a friend of mine to get a liver transplant. Again, we turned to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. The situation looked impossible for her. I just want to say once again, praise God. He seems to answer this prayer. Cindy received the liver transplant. And look, whatever God's will is, I think, well, what if she didn't get it? Well, then that would have been God's will, and he would have brought some sort of good out of that. I mean, we've got to put ourselves in God's will. But God can work miracles like that. Those transplants can come. The surgeries can be successful. The financial situations can turn around. I was reading through a number of the answered prayers that people have been sending me, and there was another person that was having a problem with debt. They were really behind in their finances, and they have a small business. They thought that they owed the government a bunch of money. They found out that the government had... Well, they didn't realize this, but the government let them know, I guess the tax authority, whoever they were dealing with, that there was a mathematical problem on their end, and they're getting a refund. So the money that they thought they were out is no longer out, and they're getting some back. And that's the way God can turn very dark situations into very positive ones. So let's pray today. All right, let's ask God to do that for you, to work that miracle, to reverse that situation, to allow that surgery to be successful, or that job interview to go well, or that marriage to get healed, or to have the right words that you need. And I love this, because I also received an email from a young kid who said, thank you, Drew and Relevant Radio, for making this millennial have a better understanding of our faith. I'm in love with my Catholic faith, and I'm forever thankful to your station. Thank you for helping me better understand how being lukewarm and passive is not what God desires. So I'm asking you now and the spiritual family to pray for my sister who's ill with eating disorders and disordered eating. She's got body dysmorphia as well as mental, physical, and emotional health. She's not acting her age or being a responsible mother to her son. Would you ask everybody to please pray for a full recovery for her? And we'll certainly do that. I know that's God's will. I know God wants that woman to be the mother that he intended her to be. And we want to lift that up. Another person wrote to me and they said, hey, could you please not use my name on the air? I asked prayers during the chaplet. I was having an evil presence in my home, and the priest had to come and do a special blessing. People at church had to come over. We removed lots of furniture and photos and a lot of items I had a violent reaction to. Would you pray for the continued healing of my home and my life? I listen to you every day. We will certainly pray for you. And you did the right thing. Get that priest in that house. Get that home blessed. Get rid of those objects that might have that taint. And get to confession. and you'll find freedom and liberty. I know you want it. Final intention here, and then you and I can pray. Drew, thank you for speaking on this subject. My 25-year-old daughter moved out of our home at 16. She moved in with her father about 9 years ago, and she started dating her first boyfriend. I suddenly started to notice bruising on her body when she'd come and visit me, and I told her father about my suspicions and told him to watch out for her. His response was that I was causing problems. Long story short, my daughter was being beaten and raped by her boyfriend. And as a result of this violence, she turned to drugs to deal with her pain. She ended up in prison because she got caught up with a substance. She was being punished for not being able to deal with her trauma over and over again. That just breaks my heart, because there are more people in prison for drug addiction and abuse. And so often there are deep-seated wounds. And this girl clearly had one. I wish there was a way we could somehow filter through that and get people the help they need. So the mother writes, she says, it's taken a lot of prayers on my part to stay strong for her and to help her on her path. Today she's clean, but not free of her pain or these horrible memories of her first boyfriend. Her father told her at one point that if she didn't put herself in that position, she wouldn't have been raped. And I'm thinking, what father would say something like that? She says, I can't forgive either her father for not protecting our daughter or the person who did this to her. Would you please pray for her? I'm going to keep her name anonymous, but I want to pray for this mother in particular, who is also suffering the ripple effects of that sin, of that violence, of that abuse, of that rape, and for the destruction it has brought to this family. And let's pray for healing for anyone who's been abused, anybody who's been raped, anybody who's been violated, and for any family member who is also carrying that particular cross. I lift them up, and I just ask for the deepest of healings for anybody who's had to endure that. I'm praying with Chris Flood today. She's my colleague here. And Chris, it's always good to pray with you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Glad to be here with you.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up?
I would just like to pray for anyone who is depressed over it, whatever the cause, that they would have hope in their life.
All right. We'll lift that up for sure, for depression, for anxiety, for that intention you have particularly. And we'll pray for Patrick's intention. Patrick, I know you said you wanted to jump on quickly.
Yes, Drew. I'd like to pray for my brother, who it was his birthday over the weekend, Joseph Alog.
All right, good. We'll pray for him too. All right, Lord, we give you these intentions, and we begin today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
We'll take our first call. This comes from Austin, Texas today. Angie, good afternoon.
Hello. Can you hear
me?
Hi,
Angie. I can, yeah. Welcome.
Hi. Welcome. I'm praying for Brianna. She is 24 years old and has been having strong suicidal ideation lately. She was in a treatment facility but now is out, and so I'm just praying for her salvation and healing of her mind. She's very lost. And I'd like to pray for my father, who, like your friend, has just had one health issue after the other. he heals from one, and then the next day there's something else, and he's currently in the emergency room trying to figure out what's going on today. So I just want to pray for his healing, good doctors, good meds, and just healing for his soul as well. These are my prayer intentions today.
Well, you got it. I'm glad you got through today, Angie. We'll certainly pray for your father. I know if you suffer in your own way, I know much you must love him. And I do want to pray for anyone with suicidal ideation, those who are thinking about harming themselves or taking their own life. Lord, just hold back their hand. Let them know that you've created them for a destiny and a mission. I want to pray for the homeless. I know somebody who is homeless right now and is really lost, so I add that to this intention. But I lift up these intentions here, and I pray for all those who are in chronic pain, for all those who are suffering, for all those who are carrying crosses that, you know, you and I don't understand. You know, St. Ignatius of Loyola, he once said, just like all the great saints have said, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, St. Faustina, you go through the litany of Padre Pio, that if God's sending you suffering, that it's a sign he's got great plans for you. And he wants you to use this to make you a saint. That was St. Ignatius of Loyola. So if you're suffering, I say suffer well. I'm telling you, we'll be blessed and rewarded for it. I know it's easier said, but when you're in the storm, when you're dealing with that pain, it's hard. I recently went through a bout myself of some suffering, and I rejoiced in it because I knew the power it contained, and I thanked the Lord for it. And I got to tell you, your prayers were answered for me. I feel so much better, and I'm so grateful for you. But let's pray right now that I pray for those suffering and for all these intentions. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Priscilla is praying with us in beautiful Springville, Tennessee. Hi, Priscilla, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, thank you very much for taking my call. God bless
you. You're welcome.
I would like to request for an urgent prayer need from the Divine Mercy Family Intercessor Prayer Group for the sale of our house that is for sale to receive an offer to purchase from prospective serious buyer.
Great. Has it been on the market for a while?
We had just placed it 2 days ago, Saturday this weekend.
Good.
And we have just had a couple of people looking, one virtual remote and another one. So I'm just really asking for prayer from the Divine Mercy.
Well, you're not alone. And I just say this to you, Priscilla, the housing market is on fire. Now, spring is always the best. Of course, there's another rebound right now in the fall. And let's pray. I really want to lift this petition up because it's so important. And Lord, I just ask for anyone who's trying to sell their home, in particular Priscilla, that you bring the right people to that house and that it be a source of joy and blessing for them, that your presence can be felt. But I also just ask for the maximum value, that people may have the right discernment what to ask, that they're not asking too much or too little, but you give them the maximum value. And I just say this to you, Priscilla. You know, St. Faustina's feast day is tomorrow. Put your trust in the Lord. Ask St. Joseph to intercede and trust God, because he says, I love souls that have complete trust in me. I'll do everything for them, and, you know, he'll move this house for you. So, Lord, I just thank you right now in advance for all those seeking the transition and the sale of their home. We pray to those trying to qualify for mortgages too. That just came to me. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, and Patrick Alog is screening our Twitter account. Please send us your petitions. We want to pray for you at Drew Mariani Show. It's a great way to post them, at Drew Mariani Show, and everyone will be praying for you. You can email me, drew@relevantradio.com, or, of course, call us here in the studio and join this beautiful prayer faith community that we have. Patrick, what's coming in?
Yes, Drew, we have several intentions. Here are some of them. Lisa is praying for her daughter, who has a sleeping disorder and is affecting her in terms of her job prospects as well. Andra is praying for a friend of hers who is fighting COVID in the hospital. Cindy is praying for a family that had an auto accident. Three girls are in the ICU and the mom died in the auto accident as well.
Yeah. Wow.
Joe is praying for the First Lady of Florida, Casey DeSantis, who's fighting breast cancer. And Bill Patnode, a guest of yours, Drew, he is praying for those of us grieving the recent loss of a parent, especially a parent with a degenerative disease.
Yes. Bill, we're going to pray for that intention. Thank you for calling in with that. I want to pray for Bob Ott, a friend of mine who prays this chapel with me all the time. And his mother, Thelma, had died last week. I know we prayed for her, and it's hard losing a parent. Sometimes after the funeral and everything is over, it's really when it hits a lot of people. Cass is praying in Pennsylvania. We'll bring her into this third decade as well. Cass, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. Drew, I'd like to offer prayers for my son for the healing of his body and his blood pressure. It keeps on getting high and it's not going down. And heal his body and his blood pressure. And that we end the abortions in this country, please. And also, my sister passed away last month, and just for the souls in purgatory.
All right, such important intentions. Cass, I want to thank you for praying with us and being part of our spiritual family. Because I know your prayers are powerful. And Lord, I ask you to hear her prayers. I pray in particular for her son, this mother praying for her son. Anyone who has high blood pressure, cholesterol, I lift those up. I do want to pray, and I love this last intention she gave, for those who died and have gone before us. Lord, I pray for all of our loved ones, that you'll be merciful to them. And by virtue of these prayers, many souls will be released into paradise today. That you'll mitigate the suffering of others, and that when we draw our final breath, you'll meet us as a merciful Savior and not a just judge. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from San Diego. Mary is praying with us there. Good afternoon, Mary.
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
God bless Relevant Radio and Father Rocky and the Divine Mercy. I would like to offer a prayer for Izzy Martinez, who lives in Las Vegas and is currently undergoing a spinal surgery. She's born with cerebral palsy, and it's been a rough road for her. And prayers for my sister and brother-in-law, Ricky and Blanca. May God give them strength during this time. Thank you.
All right, Mary, thank you for praying. And we'll lift up Izzy, especially those who are undergoing surgery. Lord, I ask you as divine physician to be the hands of those surgeons and to allow this to be a positive and fruitful surgery. And we pray for prompt and quick recovery. Lord, I pray for all those who are sick and infirm. You know, St. Vincent de Paul, he said, if you and I only knew, we knew how precious, you know, the treasure was that was hidden in our suffering and in our infirmities. He said, we would receive them with the same joy we receive the blessings that God gives us. And we'd bear them without complaining. We'd never show signs of weariness because hidden in these things are treasures. And Lord, I just pray for those who are going through this now that they can feel that, see that, discover that. And Lord, you'll make it visible for so many who are just begging for relief. We pray for your will to be done in our lives. And I pray as I do every day for those miracles that I know you'll bestow. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jim is listening to us in New York, in Suffolk County. Jim, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. It's my first time ever calling. My sister just informed me of the radio station, which I never listened to, but my daughter-in-law went in the hospital this morning. She was diagnosed with an aneurysm in the brain, as well as two blocked carotid arteries, and she's got three small children. She's only in the early 30s, which is rare for that type of injury, and she'll be getting operated on shortly, so I just would ask for some prayers.
Well, Jim, I'll tell you what, you got my prayers and our spiritual family here. There are people praying from Maui to Maine and all over the world. So your daughter's going to be blanketed in that. And I just can't imagine what you're going through. I remember my daughter had to have her tonsils out, and I was a nervous wreck. And this is such a serious surgery. So we're going to pray for that. And I'm glad you discovered Relevant Radio. And I'm glad you discovered this prayer and you came into this. You know, St. Faustina, who is the first saint of the new millennium and one in which Jesus Christ appeared to and gave her these revelations, he said this about this prayer, and I want you to take real confidence in it. I want you to believe in it. I share this all the time because I believe the promise. The Lord says, it pleases me to grant everything that souls ask of me by saying this chaplet. So I'm going to pray for a successful surgery right now and for blessings and peace on your family. And Lord, I give you Jim. I stand by these promises as you gave to St. Faustina for those who pray this chaplet. And with trust and faith and confidence in you, I just ask for those miracles that, again, safe surgery and prompt recovery. Lord, I pray for those also who are contemplating abortion, contemplating suicide, contemplating harming themselves in some way. I want to pray for those who are trapped in sin and who have grown blind to the sin. For those suffering from addictions, those facing imprisonment, those without license, those who are on the street, those addicted to pornography, those in troubled marriages, those who are unfaithful to their spouses, for those abused and for their abusers, Lord, I pray for those most in need of your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko.
Pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mykolenko.
Pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You know, I just have a sense that God's really hearing these today. It's just a sense I have here. There's going to be successful surgeries. There's going to be healings. There's going to be answered prayers. So keep praying. And I just want to leave you with this thought. Please put your trust in God. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. What good will your worry do? What good will your anxiety or fear do? It'll do nothing. It was faith that brought about all those miracles in the scriptures, right? The faith of the centurion, the faith of the hemophiliac, the faith of those who asked Christ to restore their sight or give their friend, their loved one, the ability to walk. It is that faith and trust that moves the heart of God. So I say to you today, as we wrap this up, trust, trust, trust. Put your faith in God. Do not worry. Do not give in to anxiety. Know that God has a divine plan and He will bring good out of this situation. All right, I'm going to continue to pray for you, I promise. Stay with me. When we come back, I want to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Has it been discovered? We'll also talk about animals a little bit later. Does your pet go to heaven? That and more right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Thank you so much for being there.
What the mainstream media isn't saying.
Your show is always relevant.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I'm really glad you have this on your show today.
Hey, thank you for joining me. It is good to be with you. You know, I've spoken about the Dead Sea Scrolls in the past. We've talked about Noah and his ark. Is it possible that scientists have discovered the lost cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? We've talked about this a little bit in the past. And if so, what do we know? What happened? Was Sodom destroyed by a meteor? Some biblical archaeologists say no. Was it a divine fire that fell from the sky? Was it a comet? What happened to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? And I think it's such a great question. You know, for more than a century now, you know, we've been told by scholars that you know, the stories in the Old Testament are fake; they're made up. You know, they're stories with a moral intent, and of course, they're stories that tell us the truth about God and our relationship with Him. But are they still just stories? Yeah, you know, that view has been challenged by archaeological discoveries taking place in the Middle East over and over again. There have been all kinds of discoveries of man-made structures mentioned in the Old Testament, and even very small things like a seal that was, you know, likely the seal of the prophet Isaiah. I remember talking about that a couple years ago, but most recently, you know, there are discoveries that many believe indicate that the location of the cities of Gomorrah and Sodom, right? Located down by the Dead Sea. And there's been a lot of excavation going on there now for probably a decade and a half, maybe even longer. And what they are finding there is absolutely amazing. Of course, the evidence at the site reveals a catastrophic end to the people, the inhabitants that were there. And the area was abandoned, you know, at least for 700 years. It was probably uninhabitable, right? So the question is, how was the city destroyed? Was it an asteroid? Was it an earthquake? Was it a heat event? I tend to think it was a heat event. That's what a lot of the evidence is now indicating. That's what seems to be coming forth. They're finding all sorts of evidence that there was a blast of some sort that went off. It incinerated people right up to their waists, right? It turned sand to glass. It's pretty amazing if you think about it. I thought today we'd dive into this, take a real quick look at what scientists have found, and ultimately, you know, what they are what they are claiming. And if you got a question, you want to join me, you can feel free to dial in. Dr. John Bergsma is going to be here as well. But this is one of the great mysteries of the Bible, right? It comes, if you want to read the story, if you're unfamiliar with it, it's in the 18th and the 19th chapters of Genesis. And if you remember the story, God tells Abraham that he's about to destroy a very sinful people, a very sinful cities, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, because there was a wicked people living there in the time. And I think about this story sometime, you know, I mean, how wicked could these people have been that God would annihilate them, right? How wicked? Is this just a story, or did Sodom and Gomorrah exist? Was Gomorrah destroyed? Was Sodom destroyed? Could they have been saved? I mean, we know what happens with Nineveh, right? They were saved. We also know what happened with the flood. You know, great flood covered the earth. Yeah, God saved righteous people. So what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? We can speculate about that today. But the story goes on, you know, that Abraham negotiated with God. He went back and forth saying that God shouldn't punish the just with the unjust. So, you know, the creature gets the creator, if you will, to agree to withhold his judgment if he can find just 10 righteous people that are present in the city. Just 10 out of this bustling, booming city. And as we know, not even 10 such people were found in that city. And as Abraham is fleeing the city, of course, a fire falls from the sky. Fire and sulfur rain down from heaven, and they destroy the city. See, this is what's so striking to me. This is what I want to talk about, and we can dive into this. It's the fire and the sulfur that has archaeologists puzzled, because they haven't been able to find a place that fits that description. So a lot of scholars have written this story off as a fantasy, kind of a nice moral tale. But one team of archaeologists, they believe they have now found evidence to show where it happened. It's Tel El Hamam. It's the name of a site in modern-day Jordan. And excavations, as I said, have been taking place now for years there. And these scientists say that they have evidence that they believe will show that there may have been a meteorite that exploded just above the cities that rained down this destruction on them and surrounding areas. And this always struck me. And the reason I say it struck me, it reminds me of other incidences that happened. We talked not too long ago about a cosmic fireball. Remember the one in 1908 in a place called Tunguska? Tunguska, it was in Siberia. And it baffled scientists for decades. They had no idea what happened. It looked like an atomic bomb went off. And this is before the creation of the atomic bomb. There's no evidence of anything found on the ground, but all these giant trees were felled. And they were in this giant pattern, and they have no idea what happened. Very likely a comet, cosmic fireball, exploded off the ground, sending a shockwave that did that. Is it possible that a fireball exploded, you know, over the northern shore of the Dead Sea around 1650 BC? Scientists believe that an explosion may have laid waste to the entire lower Jordan River Valley, sowing what we now have as the Dead Sea saltiness. I don't know if you've ever traveled to Israel. It's an amazing site to visit. Lowest point on Earth. So scientists say that they now have evidence, more evidence, that this may have happened, but this may not tell all the story. There are other scholars right now who believe that these excavators are just adjusting the evidence to fit their hopes rather than letting the evidence speak for itself, because similar reports came out last year saying that, hang on, there is evidence of sulfur and fire in a different region. So I've invited Dr. John Bergsma, a professor of biblical theology, a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, to join us today. He's the expert in Dead Sea Scrolls. He's been with me many times. We've discussed this issue in the past, and he's the author of a number of different books. Check him out at johnbergsma.com, or easy website to remember, just catholicbibleteacher.com. You can check out his books and tap into his expertise. Doctor, always a delight to have you here. Good afternoon.
Absolutely, Drew. Great to be on with you.
This is always so intriguing to me. You and I have spoken about this in the past, and I'm always on the alert for new evidence that comes up. Bring us back in time. What evidence do we have that, you know, the site near the Dead Sea might be the site of the city of Sodom? And what else is now being claimed and discovered?
Sure, Drew. So I was there when Steve Collins, the American archaeologist, who's leading this project, first announced these fines together with his team. I believe it was 2012 in the Society of Biblical Literature in San Francisco. It's absolutely stunning what they found. But, you know, I want to emphasize with you, Drew, that these are very reputable scholars who are working on this site, and they've been careful to release their finds first to the scholarly community rather than, you know, immediately try to get a movie contract or something, which would kind of discredit them. They've been trying to really, you know, carefully prove their point. But, Drew, this is the situation. There's two mounds on the Jordanian side of the southern part of the Jordan River right before it goes into the Dead Sea. These mounds typically are the remains of ancient cities. So Steve Collins and his team got permission from the Jordanian government to excavate these, and they quickly realized that, number one, these mounds are in the right place, according to the Bible, to fit the description of where Sodom and Gomorrah were located. Secondly, Drew, as they were digging down, they found a destruction layer where it was apparent that the city had been destroyed by a blast of heat from the sky. Wow. And that heat was so intense that for a couple of seconds it raised the temperature to something like 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That means hot enough to melt a pottery into glazing. And so the jars and stuff that were on the dirt that were facing the sky got glazed if they were facing the sky. And it wreaked incredible devastation. There was a shock wave that knocked over walls that were almost 12 feet thick, defensive, you know, walls of the city. So just amazing, wreckage of a disaster that, again, came from the sky and was heat. And then, too, this explosion that caused this seemed to have then collapsed and sucked up a lot of salt debris from the Dead Sea area and deposited that on top of these cities, which would be that sulfur that the Bible describes as coming down as well. So absolutely stupendous stuff, Drew. But again, done by very reputable archaeologists, not, you know, self-taught quacks that get a plane ticket, you know, to the ancient Near East and, you know, just are a little bit irresponsible. But these are very reputable people.
Hey, if you're just joining us, my guest, Dr. John Bergsma, we're talking about whether or not the ancient cities of Gomorrah and Sodom, spoken of in the book of Genesis, have been discovered, and how the people vanished or disappeared. What happened? Was it truly destroyed by a fire and a brimstone that fell from heaven, or was it something else? And God, of course, can use the natural in a supernatural way to bring about, you know, an effect. I have no problem with that at all. But I want to talk about the destruction. I mean, it seems very likely that it had to be something from space that came, like Tunguska. You know, there had to be some sort of blast. Maybe there was this massive heat event. I mean, a lot of the pottery and even some of the findings of the remains of people there, as you point out, they've been incinerated down to their waist. It says that there had to be an intense, tense heat there. But then, and Doctor, I'd like your perspective on this, because I also think of what happened, what has been prophesied in places like Akita, Japan, where the Lord gave to Sister Agnes Sasagawa in a church-approved apparition a warning that a great fire would fall from the sky and a large part of humanity would be annihilated if the world did not amend its life and repent. And, of course, John Paul consecrated the world a couple years later in 84 to the Immaculate Heart, fulfilling the Fatima secret. But you can go back to Fatima as well, when 100,000 people, 70,000 people, whatever the number might be, somewhere in that range, attested to see the sun plummet towards the earth. You know, not an astronomical observatory in the planet noted any deviation of the sun, yet 70 to 100,000 people saw the sun plummet, dry the wet clothes that they were in, and the muddy ground that they stood on. It had a direct effect on reality, and many thought they were going to die. Could the fire have been supernatural? So I you probably don't have the answer to that, but let me throw that at you, because there's two trends of thought: God using the natural in a supernatural way, or is it possible that the Lord sent down a supernatural fire to chastise a sinful people?
Yeah, absolutely, Drew. And your answer to that question is going to depend on, you know, your perspective on reality, obviously. So what we can say for sure is this city shows the effect of, you know, a tremendous fire or a tremendous blast of heat and a shockwave that's coming from the sky. So that could have been supernatural. That could have been a meteor, you know, again, directed by the hand of God, because, you know, the natural and supernatural are not necessarily opposed to one another. God, you know, can orchestrate natural events in such a way that they're an answer to prayer. I mean, we celebrate, you know, many, you know, natural events that we believe are in answer to prayer, where God has granted victories to Christian armies in history and saved Europe, you know, and things like this. And we don't, because that there were, you know, physical soldiers there, we don't say, well, God had nothing to do with it then. No, we believe that, you know, praying the rosary, you know, resulted in Lepanto. So what I'd say about that is all we can say for sure, Drew, is we can see the effects. And so we definitely know these cities are in the right place according to the biblical description. They sure look like what the Bible says about Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. And we can definitely say they were blown away from the sky in an event of heat that basically looks like the description that we read. Wow. And then the cause, we can just, you know, kind of surmise, you know, what that might have been.
My guest today, Dr. Jonathan Bergman. Doctor, stay with me. I have to take a short pause, okay? When we come back, we'll go to the phones. If you want to join me, I only have the doctor for a few moments. You might have a question, you might have a comment, an insight. Feel free to pull up a chair and join the conversation as we look at a story from the Old Testament, which many thought was just a moral story to illustrate, you know, an important lesson. Seems that biblical archaeology is revealing that these cities existed and were indeed destroyed. We'll talk more. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
Yeah, it's so good to be with you. Tell others about the broadcast. If you enjoy the show, or if you learn something new, or if you just want to revisit it, say, hey, I want to share that with somebody, you can tap into my podcast. Just go to RelevantRadio.com/Drew Mariani and should bring you to our page, and you can find the archives there and dive into any podcast, re-listen to this, send the link. Share it with others. It's a great way to revisit important news, issues, matters of the faith, and spend some time with them. If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Dr. John Bergman. Before I go back to the conversation, we're talking about the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just want to put a quick plug in here and remind you that Relevant Radio is offering this year, we only have 200 of these, but they're offering 200 listeners a chance to win an outdoor nativity set. Beautiful nativity set. I actually have one. It was given to me when I joined this network years ago, and my wife and I, we put it out every year. If you want it, it's your opportunity to get it right now. We're going to give you a beautiful outdoor nativity set. It's valued at over $500 and gives you plenty of time to display it. I think it's important, you know, to let people know and understand where your faith is on this. But 200 lucky listeners will get it. You can register to win simply by going to relevantradio.com/nativity. You've to midnight October 15th to sign up. We're going to randomly draw 200 names, and you can celebrate this Christmas, this Advent, really, with your brand new beautiful nativity set. And it's a great way just to proclaim your to your friends, to your neighbors, to others, that Christ is the reason for the season. Again, that is relevantradio.com/nativity. Hey, if you're just joining me, we are talking about the destructions of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and looking at recent reports of what transpired there and what might have ultimately been discovered. Is it possible that a fire fell from the sky and destroyed the cities of Gomorrah and Sodom due to the sinfulness of the people? Did God use something natural to do it? Look, a lot of people can dismiss this as myth, but if you go back to Genesis 19, you get this detailed account of what ultimately happened, right? And Genesis 13 tells us the people of Sodom were wicked. They were sinners. They were wickedly sinful before the Lord. Exceedingly is what the word, the scripture uses. And I think of our own time, right, where We are killing children in massive numbers, where we have rejected God on every level, where we redefine marriage, where we are pumping impurity and pornography and all this vileness into not just the culture, but into the minds of our young, malleable children. And the list goes on. I won't give you the litany of problems that are going on in our country, but clearly I see this as a time that calls for the justice of God. But you know me, I love divine mercy, and I give God thanks for his mercy, because he did tell St. Faustina, before this time of justice, I first come as a merciful Savior. But woe to those of you who do not recognize this time of my visitation. You know, Christ, he spoke. Jesus quoted in Matthew 11. You know, he talked about, you know, Sodom, right? There are quotes in 2 Peter 2. The apostles are saying the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes remained as an example to those who live ungodly in this day. And you can go through all these other books. There's many references in Scripture. So it raises lots of questions. And joined by an expert on not just the Dead Sea Scrolls, but on this issue and many others, Dr. John Bergsman. And Doctor, we have a few minutes here. Two things I'd like to touch on. The sinfulness of our time. I mean, that had to be a pretty sinful society to be destroyed. But the lesson there is that we can amend our lives, we can return to purity, we can accept God's law and live by it and live in freedom and contentment. Let's talk about that. Any idea what the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was? And then I do want to talk about some of the finds that were found there, because the evidence really shows that clearly something of incredible heat and destruction took place. To the first point, though, I'd love your take.
Yeah, so the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, sure, they're described in more than one place in the Bible, both in Genesis and then later in the prophets. And so, Drew, they were very wealthy cities. They controlled the trade routes that went through the ancient Near East that had to cross the Jordan River at that point near Jericho. They were on the other side of the river from Jericho. So they were very wealthy, very elite. You know, from the fortifications that we've dug up, we can tell that these people had tremendous resources, you know, the abilities to build defensive walls around their city that were 12 feet thick, you know. So amazing resources were at their availability. And yet they were not a humble people. They were arrogant. They abused the poor, according to the prophets. And they gave up on God's plan for marriage and sexuality. And what we see in Genesis 19 is that it gotten so bad that they were really sexually harassing in a really terrible way, contrary to nature, you know, folks that would even visit the town, forcing themselves on visitors. And of course, there's a high respect for taking care of strangers in the ancient world and in the ancient Near East. And so not only to not be respectful for people that are visiting and that are, dependent on your hospitality, but even forcing yourself sexually on them in the way that we find described in Genesis 19 is really abhorrent. And so we see that their culture had really become debased, Drew, to the point that they didn't no longer had the sense of morality that is just kind of natural in most cultures, and had given up on that. And when things get to that point, the Bible indicates that God sends judgment, so that this kind of thing does not continue.
Wow. Well, I've got less than a minute to go, Doctor. The evidence found at the sites is absolutely amazing. But we'll have to dive into that a little bit later. If people want to follow you, get plugged into you, I know you travel to the Holy Land a lot as well. What's the best way to connect?
Sure, absolutely. CatholicBibleTeacher.com, Drew, will get you to my website. And there on the website, we're advertising our pilgrimages, Lord willing, for next summer. The folks can check that out if they want to go to some of these holy sites, to the Jordan River, and check out the Dead Sea Scrolls and so on. We're going to go there as well as Gethsemane and the Holy Sepulchre, the whole nine yards, as it were.
Well, Doctor, thank you for your time. Such a delight to have you. Take out Dr. John Bergsman at his website, johnbergsman.com or catholicbibleteacher.com. He's a professor of theology and biblical theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. I'm Drew Mariani. Stay with me. There's more when I return.